Welcome to Evangelism on Fire podcast. My name is Mark Thomas, an ordained pastor, a teacher of the best-selling book of all time, your host, and most importantly, your evangelism coach. Every episode, I bring you an inspiring message to help you live the most exciting life God has created you to live by actively sharing your faith in Jesus with others. I believe in the power of the gospel and the potential of all Christians to live out the mission of the Great Commission. I believe the best way for Christians to grow is to go. It's time for a revolution in every Christian's life around the world so that every person everywhere around the world can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from a friend or family member through one-on-one evangelism. I'm so thankful for our time together today. I absolutely love spending time with you, Evangelism on Fire Nation. I believe this podcast will truly inspire you, and I believe it will inspire so many people that you know. And if you're inspired and feeling moved to share this, then please message some friends, post this on social media, and let people know about this episode so we can get this message out there more. I appreciate you and everyone listening right now. And a quick reminder, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, to rate it, to review it, spread the word on social media, and spread the message of Evangelism on Fire forward.
Many people are looking for hope these days, especially young people. They want to be part of something bigger. And here at Evangelism on Fire Ministry, we have big plans to reach them in 2023. Here's where you will not find hope. You won't find hope in the culture. You won't find hope in technology. You won't find hope, even in many ways, in politics. Now, all of these things have their place, but true hope can only be found in God. The message that we want to share is that God wants to give hope to the young generation and all generations, that there is hope for them through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we want to offer this hope to as many people as possible in 2023 through our outreach ministries, which of course includes our EOF podcast ministry. I'm asking you to join us at EOF Ministry and become a partner. A partner is just a friend that makes a regular commitment to us each and every month. They stand by us. That enables us to respond to the opportunities that are coming our way. In many ways, we live in a hopeless world. But through Christ, we have hope. Life without God is a hopeless end. Life with Him is an endless hope. Join us right now and become a part of our team, and let's reach the world with the most important message that exists, the gospel message. Join us for the plans we have for ministry in 2023 by becoming an Evangelism on Fire ministry partner. Are you ready? Well, this is your next step. Go to today's show notes and click on the giving link to become a monthly partner by setting up a monthly donation, or go to our website, evangelismonfire.com. Click on the donate button to give a monthly reoccurring donation or a one-time gift. Thank you for joining us to give hope to the world.
All right. Welcome, Evangelism on Fire Nation, to today's podcast episode. Man, I've got a big time treat for you guys today. We have on our podcast episode today, Sydney Sundance Smith. She's 31 years old. And let me tell you what, she's on a mission to be one of the world's top female bare knuckle fighters. And listen, she has her eye on the title. And you know what? Something that I love about Sydney is that she is a true spiritual warrior, and she carries her faith and her father's memory with her everywhere she goes and into the ring. Sydney Sundance Smith, welcome to Evangelism on Fire podcast. How are you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm doing well. I feel really good. You know, I'm in a really good place in my life. So
that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. So, you know what? So my audience, Evangelism on Fire Nation, so they know more about you. I gave you a little introduction, but tell us more about who you are.
Oh, wow. I feel like that's such a big question, right? Right. Like the, what does Shrek say? I'm like an ogre. I have like an onion. I have ears. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just like a kid from the middle of nowhere. I grew up on a horse farm. All three of us, my brother and my sister and myself, we were all born at home. We were not born in a hospital.
Oh, you were born at home? Not a hospital. No. At home. Mm-mm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so for my sister's birth, my dad actually had to deliver her because the midwife was somewhere else. And so she didn't get there.
Oh, wow.
So my dad had to deliver.
That is wild. What was going on with the midwife?
It starts wild. So she was delivering another baby like across the county.
Right.
So.
Wow, that's such a cool story to start this podcast off.
Hey, it's interesting from start to finish. I'll give it that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just grew up out like in the middle of nowhere in a place called Middlebrook. Doesn't even have enough people to be considered a town. It's still considered a village to this day.
When I first heard about you, was when I was training at Mixed Martial Arts Institute here in Richmond, Virginia. And I would hear your name mentioned, you know, in my training sessions. Then I got to be good friends with Gigi, who she owned MMA Institute around the area that she lived.
In Charlottesville, yeah.
Yeah, for a little bit. And through Rick McCoy and Tyus Thomas and David Gladfelter, I got to know more about you because I would just hear your name around. You know, the Institute. So let's get right into it. How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ?
So I actually, I grew up in it. I just kind of always believed he was there, that he was just that he was and that his son existed. And you know, I didn't really know too much about the Holy Spirit growing up. That wasn't really something, it's not really something that Presbyterians talk about a lot, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, I had a relationship with him for, you know, most of my life, but it really didn't, it was like, you know, like the shockwave kind of hit more when I was like 16, 17, and I was really starting to go through like some really serious suicide and depression, and I got really, you know, just really into the Word, and, you know, my mom bought me a study Bible on Easter, the year I turned 17, and I still have it. I still use it every day, and so that really just kind of, because I have this insatiable appetite. I just like to know things. I don't know why, I just do, and so yeah. So getting me a study Bible was a great way. And I just never looked back, you know? And that's it. I mean, I've had my ups and downs, right? You know what I mean? I'm not saying I've walked a perfect path since I was a teenager. That is far from true.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't mean that I've ever stopped believing in God or loving God or talking to God. You know, I think that I just kind of have this different understanding of who he is and like what he wants to do. Like, he's never going to give up on you, you know? And I think that's something that's really important, and that's something that I really want to get out there, is that I'm not saying go out there and do all these bad things. You know, we shouldn't sin much so that grace can abound much. But what I'm saying is that, like, you know, grace covers a multitude of sins. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, there's no shame, no condemnation for those that are, you know, made new in Christ. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to come and talk about is, you know, there's a way, like, you know, we've kind of gotten to this point as a society where if anybody starts saying like, thus saith the Lord, or, you know, you quote the Word in a way that people, you know that you're quoting the Word to them, they just shut down, right?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I just feel like God has written it on my heart in a way that, you know, I just talk about it. I'm not trying to shove it down your throat. I'm not trying to like preach at you, but I feel like God is so enmeshed in everything and every single moment of every single day that, I mean, his Word is just one more example of that. And speaking it is very powerful. And that's something I learned along the way. And so, to speak it, you have to know the Word. So,
hey, wait, say that again, Sydney. Say that one more time.
To speak the Word, you have to know the Word. So,
yeah,
you know, write it on your heart.
To speak the Word, you have to know the Word, you know, and I've read some articles about you that you are in the Word daily. Yeah. I love that.
Every day.
In
my study Bible, Josephus, you know, I've got like the concordance, the Hebrew and the Greeks dictionaries. Like, I really do, like, I truly go through it all the time. I just love it, you know.
I think it's really interesting. And I think that when you study the different translations, not that anyone is better or worse than any of the others, but I think that, you know, they all have something to offer. And, you know, that goes for like the Hebrew and the Greek too, because their I don't know how to explain it, but their vocabulary was richer. It was like more dense than ours is.
Yeah.
I feel like the words that they chose to communicate what was going on or how they were feeling or what God was saying were chosen for specific reasons. They did a lot of like play on words with, you know, like, what was it, Adam and I can't remember the other one, like that's similar to his name, but it's like Adon or whatever, you know? And like, so one means Adam and one means something that's like completely opposite and
right.
bad that he did or whatever, yeah. you know?
Hey, and you know what? If someone's listening right now, right? So this is mostly a Christian podcast, but a lot of those listeners out there right now, they're not reading the word daily, say like you are or I am. What encouragement would you give to them to pick up the best-selling book of all time, the Bible, right? And get in the word and, you know, taste that a little bit every day. What encouragement would you give to them?
I mean, what do you have to lose, right? Like, there's so many places in the Bible where it talks about how we should meditate on God's word. And that's not just sitting there and being like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about your word. But the Hebrew and the Greek actually means to like speak on the utterance, to talk to yourself about it. And honestly, you know, you shouldn't look at it as a chore. I know for a long time, you know, it's not like I've read my Bible every single day for my entire life, right? Like we all go through stages and phases and seasons. But, you know, habits are what you consistently do. So, you know, it's going to take time to get to that point where, you know, you make it, it's just part of what you do every day. You have your coffee and you sit down and you spend time with God first thing. You know, that's kind of like what I like to do. Just pick a time that works for you. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm spending 45 minutes, you know, just literally anything is better than nothing, right? Like God just wants you to say, hey, you're important to me and I'm taking this time out of my day to just spend this time with you. Set yourself up to like read 5 verses or read a chapter a day or, you know, start with small bits. But I mean, honestly, try not to look at it as a chore. I mean, you're meeting with the creator of the universe and magnificent things happen.
Ah, come on.
I mean, you know, Jesus is the word, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you shun the word, you're kind of like shunning Jesus in a way. And he came to give us life more abundantly. So how can you have abundant life if you kind of like refuse the one who's trying to give it to you? You
know? Wow. That's deep. That's profound. That is so good. So
that's the Holy Spirit. Now,
Holy Spirit speaking in and through you.
just do the talking because I ramble. People know that. Like I'll talk forever, especially when it's about God.
Yeah.
So I was like, God, please just let the Holy Spirit.
Isn't it cool when the Holy Spirit speaks in you and through you and you hear what you just say and you're like, wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. That was totally whoa. You.
Yeah, you're
like,
that was not me.
You're like, whoa, that was good.
Yeah. That was fire.
That was fire. Straight fire.
Yeah.
So
I was praying for like tongues of fire to be dropping on people in Albuquerque and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Be so heavy in the arena. Like, I pray for that kind of stuff. Like, to me, when I walked into church on Sunday, because I've been doing like a really in depth study on Joshua. I actually did a pretty in depth study on Judges. And then I went back and did Joshua because God was like, go read Joshua. And I was like, all right, cool. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I walked into church on Sunday and I felt God say, take your shoes off. This is holy ground, you know? And that was what I prayed over the ring the last time I fought in May, because they let you go out and check the ring out. And so like I prayed in the spirit and, you know, people call that speaking in tongues. To me, I call it praying in the spirit. It's personal between me and God. But, you know, and I just remember saying like, this is holy ground. You know what I mean? And I like closed the whole circle of it. And like, you know, I pray about it before I go, pray about like his spirit being there, you know, and the Bible says that God himself is enthroned on the praises of Israel. And then people want to ask me like, why do you walk out to Christian rapper, Christian praise music? And I'm like, why wouldn't I, you know, I'm inviting God to come in, come into my situation. You know what I mean? So to me, it's a lot different, you know, so much of it is spiritually based for me. I mean, even like the hashtag watch me rise that I use, right? That actually comes from one of my favorite verses in Judges. And it's because because it was a woman judge who spoke it, Deborah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always about like the women warriors, like the outcasts that, you know, in society, it's like says to be ladylike and they're like, nah, I'm going to go fight with the dudes. Like, that's who I've always identified yeah. with, you know, like Mulan was my favorite Disney movie. Like, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I lost where I was.
So, you know what? Alan, but... you mentioned a moment ago, August. So you have an yeah. upcoming fight.
Sorry.
In Albuquerque, right?
I was trying to trace that one back, but
yeah. But you also mentioned that how you went into the ring and prayed at your last fight. Now your last fight, you beat your opponent. You landed 98 punches to her 26.
And
you
know what? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and you only suffered a few bruises. Tell us about that fight.
You know, there was a lot of craziness going into that fight that, you know, I just kind of briefly spoke on, and that's pretty much, you know, most of like, that's legit, like the gist of what I'll say about it, just to like, you know, maintain a modicum of respectability. But basically my corners, last minute abandoned me for no good reason. And, like one of them wasted a promotion flight and all this stuff. Like it was insane. And I'm like at the airport, you know, trying to figure this stuff out. My friend drove down from South Carolina with her mom and her four-year-old son and like to corner me, and man, it was just wild. Like so many God moments happened, you know what I mean? It was like for every curse there are two blessings. Like that was, that came true, you know what I mean? Like that was just so evident. And it wasn't just for me, it was for so many other people around me too. Like my friend who came down, she had been, you know, kind of at a, like, you know, a rough state, a stagnant place in her faith with God, and you know, I guess was feeling some type of way. And when she saw like everything that had happened and how God just like made everything just boom, 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 she was like, look, I told my whole family, there's no way like I'll ever question again. God is real, you know?
Yeah.
So literally it was just nothing but God. I was just having a blast. Like I had to put all that stuff out of my mind. I didn't feel any emotion. Like, you know what I mean? I felt some, but I just prayed for protection and peace and to stay on point for what we came there to do, you know. Like I have people who, like, I have prayer warriors who literally, like, that is what we do, is we pray over these events.
Yeah,
it's not just we're praying over my fight, we're praying over the event as a whole, you know. We're praying over all of the millions of live viewers, you know. That's what we're doing. And it I mean, hey, I couldn't have, I mean, it was, other than, you know, just wanting to push the pace a little bit more, I feel like, you know, it wasn't a bad start to BKFC, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what, BKFC, now one thing I love about you, okay, you're a different breed, okay? You have martial artists, you have your MMA fighters, but tell my audience, maybe some of them do not know what BKFC is. You're a whole different beast, okay? All right, you're a whole different human being. So Evangelism on Fire Nation, if you don't know what BKFC is, listen to this. Tell my audience what type of fighter you are, Sydney Sundance Smith.
So I started off in MMA, but I was waiting very patiently for them to open my weight class. And when they did, we fight with no gloves, just a little bit of wrap support around your wrist. And
you're talking bare knuckles.
Yeah.
Bare knuckles.
100%.
She said 100%.
Facts.
Yes.
I'm so like, okay, so they're coming up with this new card. It's one in Thailand. It's like the Super Fight or whatever. And they're letting them do, it's a special rules, bare knuckle Muay Thai.
Ooh.
I have been bugging the crap out of them. I'm like, hey, can we get a bare knuckle Muay Thai? And they're like, crickets. And then this happens and I'm like, I see y'all. I see what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Y'all keep me in mind at 115. I told them. I told all of them. I've told my manager. I've told Dave Felt. I mean, you know, I've told them all. I said, if you start a bare knuckle Muay Thai, don't even ask me any questions. You just sign me up.
Sign you up.
Every single time you have a fight for me, don't even ask me. Don't ask me no questions. Just sign me up.
Yeah.
I'll do that until the day I cannot fight for. That appeals to me.
So how do you go from MMA to bare knuckle fighting? How does that transition happen?
Very carefully, I guess. it's hard not to kick people and knee people. I mean, honestly, I was just waiting for them, like I said, to open my weight class. It's been around for 5 years now.
So you're a straw weight, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. They had 125 for a while, and I've been offered a couple of different promotional bare knuckle, you know, fights. sites at 125, but I just, you know, I had a lot of medical issues and stuff. And, you know, even now healthy, I have to work to be at like 132 walking around, you know, like a healthy 132. So there's no way I could fight at 125. Those girls cut from like an insane amount.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I'm good at 115, you know, like I can make the weight. It doesn't bother me. I make 115, like my body just automatically knows like, oh, it's time to cut weight. And it just does it. Like I really, you know, I just have this really good system. And as long as I stick to it, then I really don't have any problems.
Yeah.
I cut weight and I feel so strong. It's so weird, but it's just, I've gotten it down to that point, you know?
You know, one thing that I've heard about you, tell me if this is true, but I've heard that you're a fighter who likes to get hit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 So like, you know, how Donald Cerrone, you know, he kind of like a little bit of a slow starter. Sometimes he's got to get hit a few times to like kind of wake him up. And then he's just like, you know, like back in the day, that's kind of like me. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're not going to exchange with me, it's kind of hard. Like, yeah, I mean, I'll still fight you. Right. But it's not going to be the same level of fight. You know, if you want to bang with me, you're going to like, I know people think like, maybe I'm just, you know, exaggerating or whatever, but like, you're going to get a different side of me.
Yeah.
Like you're going to bring out something in me that is like, oh, okay. You think that was hard. Like let my turn. You know what I mean? Like I get to hit you now. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I love it. I've always loved it. I fought Chelsea McCoy for my first fight. Right.
Yeah.
Rick McCoy's daughter.
Yeah.
First ever MMA fight. She hit me so hard. I fought double. I'm not even kidding. Right. I didn't know what to do. I had never, like, I was training out of a basement with some, you know, with a guy who had a few amateur fights under his belt. Like, it wasn't like I was Rick McCoy's daughter training at the MMA Institute, right? Like,
yeah.
I barely even knew what the MMA Institute was. And I was just like, yeah, I'll fight her. Everybody was like, you're really going to fight her? And I was like, yeah. And then, like, I didn't get knocked out or submitted or anything, right? Like, we had a good fight. But yeah, she made me see double. And I was just kind of like, you know, it was in that moment where it was kind of like, you're either going to do this and you're going to love it. Like that's going to do it for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you're done. You know what I mean? This is not for you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I shook my head and I was like, well, they're not guys. Like, just pick one, you know, and throw, you know? So it kind of solidified that. And, you know, so it's not the last time I've seen double in a fight. So
yeah,
it gave me that like confidence to know, like, if I get rocked, I know, like, I just, I'm going to pick one and just throw, you know? So, yeah, definitely a really fun introduction to the fight game and fight Chelsea McCoy.
Yeah.
I didn't really realize like what I was signing myself up for, because I was just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wondering why nobody else would fight her.
You found out why, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we went all three rounds, and that's kind of like how I got introduced to David Morris, was because, you know, he used to run Fight Night Challenge, and like him and Rick McCoy are like best friends. But yeah, they were all, I guess they all thought I was, you know, going to get my butt handed to me pretty quickly, and that didn't happen. So, you know, it seems to be the case, you know, like that was the case with Andy. You know, a lot of people thought I was just cannon fodder.
Yeah.
You know, just coming in to lose.
Tell us about your upcoming fight.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
It's on August 11th, right? In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about
it. Oh, man.
What's going on with that?
I'm so excited. Like, God is just so good, right? Like, I get an extra day out there. They're like, hey, there's some problems with your flight. Do you want to fly out on Tuesday, like a day early? And I was like, yes, why would that be a problem? Like, of course. I've never been to New Mexico. You know, it's another day to acclimate. And, you know, I'm just really excited about it. You know, I know my opponent is really going to come to fight. And that's what I want. And, you know, there's the title shot on the line. You know, it's the number one contender fight.
Yeah.
So.
It's big time right there.
I'm coming for it. I'm trying to tell y'all, like, you thought I looked decent, you know, against Andy. Like, I'm just trying to tell y'all, I have worked so much harder. I mean, most of that was just like the level of, you know, like that's what I've learned all over the years, right? Like that's like 10 years of discipline, right? But I feel so much sharper, so much stronger, so much like more centered and solid and just there's, it's like, you know, you're kind of, God was kind of talking to me about it the other day, and it's almost like right before the waters just surge and break, you know, it's kind of like that lull of like it's calm, but like, you know, something's going to happen in a good way, like a big thing in a good way.
Yeah.
And
I could tell.
Yeah, I just really feel that.
I can sense you have a bold confidence about you, probably in a way that you've never had previously in your fight career.
Correct. And not just in my fight career, but just in life.
Come on.
Right? Like, it was something. So look, I'm not, I know some Christians are like, we don't talk about spiritual warfare and we don't talk about the devil. But look, Satan has been after me like my entire life. I'm very well aware of that. My pastor will attest to that. Like, he knows so just like so much of the crazy that has really happened in my life. And maybe one day I'll write a book about it because there's just so much.
Write it.
But it's really all but a but God story. Right. So I'm coming for it. And I feel like Satan knows that he's thrown all of his punches at me, like his cardio, he's gassing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's tried and yeah. He keeps trying. But I kind of mused about it the other day. I was like, why? If you've tried for 30 some years and like I'm still here and I'm still fighting, like, why wouldn't you just, you know, at some point give up? But, you know, I feel like Satan only picks on people that he sees potential in. I think Stephen Furtick said that.
Yeah.
In one of his sermons this past year.
You know what? I love what you said. You said most Christians do not want to acknowledge that they are in a spiritual battle. They may not want to acknowledge that, hey, the devil, your adversary, your enemy is real. And I'm going to share the scripture right here. You know the scripture. It's Ephesians 6:12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Hey, Sydney.
Amen.
To those Amen. Christians who are listening right now and they do not know that they are in a spiritual battle, they may not want to acknowledge that Satan is real. What do you want to tell them right now?
I mean, I don't really see how you can believe in one without the other, right? Like, you either believe all of God's word or none of it, I feel like, you know, and that's, I don't know, man, it's kind of a scary thing if you don't. Yeah, I think that's kind of like what Satan wants, right? Because the Bible talks about how he blinds the minds of the unbelievers. Well, you might be a believer in Christ, but if you're an unbeliever, if you don't believe that he exists, then you've already given him an advantage on the playing field, right? Because you don't know your adversary. You don't even know who you're fighting. You think it's John, Joe, and Debbie down the street or your boss at work or whatever, but it's none of that because they're not your adversary. The devil is, right? It says that he is roaring about like a lion seeking whom he may devour, like all the time. And he's got all these little minions and like all these other spirits. And I mean, you know, the Bible is saturated with it. I mean, if you can believe some of it, but you discount the spirits and this, but you believe that a man was dead for 3 days and rose from the grave, but you believe all of the words and all of the things that Jesus did, you believe that he multiplied the fish, not just for 5,000 men, but there were also women and children there. So it's even more than 5,000. You believe that he walked on water. You believe that he calmed the storms. You believe that he healed the sick. You believe that he raised Lazarus, but you don't believe the other things that he talks about. You don't believe that he cast out the demons out of people.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Like, all of it is true. And the fact, like, that's what Satan wants. He wants you to have like a watered down Christianity. He wants you to take parts of it and leave other parts of it because he knows that he's stealing your power. Whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
The power is not in God's in mighty right hand. It says that it's in his spirit. Right? By the power of my spirit.
Yeah.
So like, you're missing the whole point. Like, there's, if you can believe in the Holy Spirit, why can't you believe that there's like the negative side to that, right? Yeah. What happened to all the fallen angels? What happened to, you know what I mean? Like, there's,
yeah. You know what? And Sydney, you're spot on. And unless each individual Christian is prepared to fight that spiritual battle daily, like you are, when you step into that ring and you're getting ready to fight, or maybe it's MMA, you're in the cage and you're getting ready to fight. If we as Christians don't come against our adversary, the devil, daily and fight the spiritual battle, we cannot live a victorious Christian life.
No. And it's kind of part of why people want to ask, you know, like, oh, if God is so good, then why is this happen? And why does that happen? And why does this happen? Well, you can't cherry pick, you know what I mean? And he's not like a request line. You can't just call him when you need something. He's not your concierge, you know? He's the creator of the universe. Show him some respect. Like, he wants to bless you. He wants to give you. He's the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills, right? He can give you whatever he wants.
Come on.
He can take from you whatever he wants. Look at Job.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's just, he should be your friend too, right? I remember being struck when I was younger. I actually wrote it, like, I kind of got in trouble. There was like this mantle in this room where, one of the rooms of, at my house growing up. And I wrote, I think it wasn't Kesed. It was, I can't remember the word now. It's on my old journal, but, it meant friend, El Kahil, I think it was. It means friend of God. And, Abraham was considered that. And I just always, I mean, even from a young age, I just always wanted to be, I wanted that distinction. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be friends with God. Yeah. Not that I did, you know, I definitely fear him and revere him and love him and worship him. But like, he's also my best friend. Right?
Yeah.
So people are always like, what is it? What is your relationship like with God? And I'm like, well, he's like my best friend, my grandpa, you know, my mom, my crying shoulder, he's very funny. He's a very great sense of humor. I don't know if anybody else caught that in the Bible, but Jesus was very sarcastic, which I love. I think it's hilarious.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, yes, thank you. I got that one for
me. That's your language. I'm like,
thank you.
The language of sarcasm. You totally get that, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think anybody who's really experienced trauma is like, you have to be sarcastic in some way, shape or form, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if you didn't, it's still fun.
Yeah. Sarcastic. So how does your faith in God parallel or transcend to being a warrior in the ring, a warrior in your bare knuckle fighting tournaments, to martial arts? How does that parallel? Because
you know,
Sydney, before you answer that, we got some Christian listeners who are listening right now. They're like, well, that's blasphemy to compare one with the other. Hey, look, if you're hyper spiritual and this offends you, go ahead and tune out right now, because we're getting real right now. So,
hey, man,
right?
The Bible says that you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling, your own salvation. So if you think that there's something wrong with this, then you should go talk to God about it, because he's the one who called me to do it, right?
Boom.
So like Jesus said that all the world should hear the word, that no corner should be untouched, right?
Yeah.
So how else are people going to be reached? Are you going to go out there and talk to these people? Are you going to go out there and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you out here doing it? No. Just because I'm doing it in a different way doesn't mean that it's not what God has called me to do with my life.
That's so good.
Know? And at least I'm using it, like, everything that happened to me in a positive way. I'm using all of the crazy chaos, just literally stuff that has made people cry, and I'm like, that's just the top of the, you know what I mean? Tip of the iceberg. Where that came from. And they're like, what in the world? And I'm like, glory to God. You know what I mean? Like, we could go through all the specifics, but like, at the end of the day, like, my argument is always this. Have you read your Bible? I mean, seriously, especially like the Old Testament. I mean, the majority of the patriarchs were warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, God loves a warrior. He loves athletic people. He loves athletes. I had someone at a 24, we used to do the Spark event up here at my church every year, and I'm going to bug my pastor now to bring it back. I've been thinking about it, but anyway. And this lady, I don't even know who she was. She just came up to me out of nowhere, and she was like, hey, God wants you to study the athletes of the Bible, like pay particular focus on the warriors. And I was like, all right, sure, whatever. And I thought, like, maybe had to do something with running. So I didn't even know. I hadn't even found fighting yet. I was like 18 years old, you know?
And you were once a cross country runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought it had something to do with that. And I was like, all right, well, school's over for me, but alrighty, cool. We'll see where that goes. And this is where it went. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, there's so many instances in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you should take that up with God.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? Jesus wasn't Jesus was not a sissy.
No.
Jesus was the most ultimate warrior that ever existed, right?
I love him. He's so awesome.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
He cracks me up.
So how does your faith in Jesus parallel with you being a fighter?
I mean, I think that Jesus had a lot of fight in him, right? Like there were certain things, like he flipped the tables at the, and he was whipping people, you know, at the money changers table. And, you know, he had a fiery side to him and he was very passionate. I just think that what I do is a sport. I don't see it as a violent act. You know, I'm not like Peter over here cutting people's ears off and stuff. You know what I mean? But,
you're not going to put that into your show in BKFB?
It's not my repertoire.
It's not your repertoire.
Not these Good days.
Good
I don't know if I'd be able to make that thing go back on there, right? You know, might heal it crooked or something. Yeah, lawsuit.
That's
I'm good.
You know what I love about hearing about you praying over the arenas you fight at, praying over the people who are going to be viewing your fights. You have the support of your pastor. You have the support of your church. I think that's just amazing, right?
That's so cool.
I mean, this is just not a fighting career. This is a ministry. And you know what I believe about you? That God is using you and your team to reach people that no one else on planet Earth could reach in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Yeah.
And it comes from those experiences where people are like, whoa, you know, like, that really happened to you? And I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? And it just blows their mind. But like, if you just look at what God's doing in my life, you can't really deny him, you know? Like coming from all of that, like you can't really look at my life and go, all right, well, you know, that's good for her, but I don't think there's anything to that. Like you have to look at it and go, well, you know, even the hardest skeptic has to be like, well, maybe there's something to that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's rough. So
yeah. Speaking about rough, what has been some of the worst times of your entire life?
Wow.
Sounds like you have a whole list, right?
Yeah, it's like just a Rolodex just continuing to just filter through, you know? I had a really very tumultuous childhood. It was really bad.
Yeah.
So I would say probably from about the time I was 6 or 7 until, oh God, 20. Probably so close to when around I had my son.
Yeah.
It's just been nonstop.
Is there one thing out of the Rolodex of your life experience that you'll share with our audience?
I'm just trying to pick one, really. I mean, I guess I don't want to give another one of my dad because that one, I don't want to paint him in like a super bad light. I think maybe the time when there's been several very distinct periods of my life. There were two, about like 5 years, three to five years each, where I did not want to live. And that was not... it's not an understatement at all, nor was it an exaggeration either. Like I was actively, trying to think of like new ways to do it. Maybe things that wouldn't be so traumatizing to like my family or, you know, there's definitely something to asking, you know, like when females do, you know, take their own lives. A lot of times there's a lot of concern for, you know, who's going to clean it up or who's going to find it, you know, so that there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And honestly, like those are the darkest times of my entire life. I think there were three that, really stand out. Being when I was pregnant was one of them, which I forgot. That was a really dark time for me.
Right.
But, you know, here I am. I've got a beautiful son. He was born premature, but now you would never be able to tell it. He has such an extensive vocabulary. This kid was talking about pressure earlier. And like,
wow.
Yeah, I'm serious. Like he was, because he knows I squeeze like the juice out of his little, the diced peaches.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was squeeze. And today, before I took the paper up or the, you know, the film up, he started pushing on it. He said, pressure. And I was like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
So his conceptualization is just astounding.
Yeah. You know what?
You know?
You were mentioning your dark time of thinking of committing suicide. And I was there too. There was a point in my life where I'm like, man, I hate my life. You know, I don't see the purpose for my life. I want to die. I had a strategy on how to kill myself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I met God during that time. But during that time that you experienced of being suicidal, how did God help you through that?
I really wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. But it's a little bit more specific, I guess, than just, oh, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God, you know. It was pretty much the way that he's gotten me through the majority of my life was this sense of destiny about something, you know, that I've had. And I don't really speak on this very much because, you know, if a lot of people don't think I'm insane for the other stuff. They will definitely think I'm crazy for this because it's so spiritual, right?
Yeah.
People are uncomfortable with that.
I'm not.
But ever since, yeah, that's what I'm going to tell you. I know you're not going to freak out.
No, no.
So since I was about 7, 8, 9, around that time period, I became extremely, extremely obsessed with the end times. I'm talking like not a normal amount obsessed with the end times.
Yeah.
And I have avidly studied anything I can get my hands on, not just biblical material, but also, you know, from an Islamic point of view, because there's that, you know, a very well written book called The Islamic Antichrist. And it kind of, it's written by a Christian, but it talks about how, you know, their scriptures kind of mirror our scriptures, where like our Antichrist is like their like Jesus or, you know, kind of figure. And so I'm really obsessed with the end times.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I'll say this. I'm with you. I'm very, very laser focused on eschatology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to use that word.
Yeah. The study of the end times. And you know what? For me personally, I don't know how, and I don't talk about it much either, because most people, they will get freaked out, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
But,
or they get angry if you don't agree with their time frame for the rapture.
What it does for me, it helps me to just dig deeper for a relationship, you know, well, in my relationship with Jesus. And it motivates and inspires me and gives me straight fire to share the gospel with as many people as I can, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand, like, what you're talking about.
It's like, man, I've studied, I've broken down like Daniel, Revelation, I've gone through Thessalonians, I've gone through so much of just so many different places in the Old Testament where it references the last trumpet and just all this stuff, right? I've had dreams and visions of like literally a battle during the end times. And, you know, someone comes up and we're all in a tent dressed in like, you know, modern military gear and like all of it's high tech. And someone comes and hands me the sword of David, which was the sword of Goliath that he used to cut off his own head. And man, it was just, God has told me from a very young age that I was going to have something very significant to do with the end times.
Mm.
And so I have 100% grown up my entire life with that belief, with that burden as well, you know, really up until just about recently, like when the world just went absolutely insane. it was going there, but then it just, there was something that kind of like, and it feel like things changed in the spirit realm. But yeah. Anyway, I really didn't want it. And I would tell God straight up, I'm like, I don't want to do whatever it is that you have for me to do, right? Yeah. Like, especially when I was suicidal and I really wanted to die. I was like, look, he's like, you know, I have these things I need you to do. And I'm like, but why? Why do you need me to do them? Like, I'm literally like, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere on a horse farm. Nobody cares about me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't get it.
Right.
I'm like, can't you just pick somebody else? And he's like, well, it doesn't work that way, but if you really don't want to do it, then I guess I have to, you know what I mean? He's talking about it because it correlates to the Bible. And the more that I've studied the Bible, like growing up, the more I realize like I'm kind of like a Bible character, because it's kind of like, you know, God tells them something some way, some form, through a bush or a, you know, a form of an angel or whatever, and they're like, 9 times out of 10, they're like, well, I don't know about that, because yeah, like, there's all these reasons and I really just don't want to do it. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I, most of the time, I was like, God, I just want to go home. Like, I just want to not, like, not be here anymore. Yeah. Right. Like, I want that rest. I want no more tears. I want no more, you know what I mean? I just want rest, right? He's like, you can have rest when you've done what, you know, what you're here for. And yeah, so that's literally every time, like any single time. I remember the one time I was like, I just can't, God. And he was like, well, it's okay. You know, I love you, whatever, you know, whatever you choose to do. And I was just like, oh. So yeah, of course I stayed. But like, you know, there's a purpose, right? And he's just consistently reassured me of that over the years.
Absolutely.
And I have to believe that this is that purpose, right?
Yeah. You know? And he's giving you a bigger platform to fulfill the purpose that he's, you know, calling, that he's given to you. Hey, so what are some of the best times of your life?
Oh, okay.
Well, she's lighting up now.
Yes, I love the good time stories. Definitely my son. I never thought I was going to be able to have my son. And he's incredible. Anytime I get to see my Grammy, I love riding horses. I grew up on a horse farm. I loved that part of it, being outside. We were always like playing in creeks and throwing mud and ride bikes. And, you know, I really loved that part of my childhood. I love my life right now. I'm so happy. I'm happy when I'm at church. I think my happiest times are when I'm praising God, spending time with my kid, and fighting. Those are my three like highest joys that I've felt in life, I feel like, are those three.
I love it. Hey, here's a question. This is the biggest question of our podcast conversation today. This is heavy. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. What's one thing about your testimony that you've never shared with anyone?
One time, this was like, I think I was 8 years old, maybe nine, and I can literally remember where I was laying. I was laying on my bed in my room with my feet up against the wall, and, you know, life was really, really awful. And I remember telling God that, like, I hated him.
Mm-hmm.
And that haunted me for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like haunted me for years. And I was like, is that the unforgivable sin? Did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Like, oh my gosh. So yeah, for a really long time, that freaked me out. I've never told anybody that.
Yeah.
I always felt bad that I told God that I hated him.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate him. I just, you know, I was a kid and my life was crap. So I was like,
yeah,
I don't understand. And you blame God, obviously. Everybody does at some point in their life.
So yeah.
God, why exactly. Is that happening?
Yeah, that's if you are a Christ follower, you have done that at some point of your life, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and you're still going to do it sometimes, you know, unknowingly, you know. Sometimes you just might have that instant reaction. You're like, what the? And you're like, oh, but hey, you know, I like to say, you know, when something crazy happens, I'm always like, God, don't know what you're doing, but I know that I trust you. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that's a good takeaway for anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't always have to know exactly what he's doing. You just have to trust that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, he loves you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what people have twisted your views of God. He loves you. Like, he loves you.
Yeah, that's
God
so
is
good.
Love, right? Like, so I read, I'm just going to say this real quick because I know we're almost at an hour and we're probably trying to wind down, but this is something that really kind of changed my perspective on God a really long time ago, and I want to share that because he just put it on me.
Yeah.
I was reading a book, and it talked about how God is love, right? So what is love? Love cannot force somebody to love you, right? Because that's not love, that's control. Love has to say, I love you, and give you the option to either accept or reject it, and then they then accept your answer, right? And so, like, that kind of blew my mind, because God doesn't force us to love him. I mean, he is the all-powerful, omnipotent creator of the universe, and he could if he wanted to, but that's not the point. He wants a relationship with us. The only way that you can love somebody is by having a relationship with them, getting to know them, learning their character, becoming enmeshed with them by trusting them, and, you know, through experience. That's what God wants. Like, why do you think we have relationships? Aren't we made in the image of God? He wants relationship. That's probably why he is there's a triumvirate there, you know, that the Trinity. So, I mean, it just makes sense, right? Like, he's not trying to force you into anything. He just loves you, and he just wants you to come talk to him. Just say, hey, God, what's up? Here to talk to you. Even if you've been away for a minute, he doesn't care. He is especially happy when you're like, hey, God, what's up? You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, heaven's like, ooh, they're back, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's so good. You know what, Sydney? This is a Christian podcast, but I'm always realizing that there's someone out there listening. They are not Christians. They haven't made a decision to follow Jesus.
But they're curious, right?
Curious.
They want to see what he's about, right? They want to see that the Lord is good, right? Yeah.
And what you just said, you're talking about God is love and God loves you, right? So for that person that's listening, they're like, man, you know what? I haven't made a decision to follow Jesus. He's not the savior of my life. He's not the leader of my life, you know? And I've heard what Sydney's talking about his love, you know, and how he's created me to have a relationship with him. And they're thinking right now, man, maybe today's the time that I make that decision. What would you say to them, Sydney Sundance Smith.
Welcome home and let's pray. You know what I mean? Let's welcome you in. All you have to do, literally all you have to do, is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? He will come into your heart and forgive your sins, like, boom. You don't even have to do anything about it. You just literally say the words and believe in your heart. And it's not going to hurt you anything, right? I've heard, you know, what people say, like, if you're wrong, well, then you lived a good right life. But if I'm right, then kind of want to be right, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything to seek a relationship with him. He's the Most High, you know?
Yeah.
So literally all you have to do is just say, Jesus, you know, I invite you to come into my life right now and invite you to come into my heart and to take over habitation. And I just want to feel your love. And I believe, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Amen. If you just said that prayer, you know, I want to congratulate you. Welcome. You just made the biggest and the best decision of your life. You know what Sydney and I are going to do? Hey, just go to my website, evangelismonfire.com. That's evangelismonfire.com. Go to the comments section on the homepage and leave me your name and your address. And Sydney and I, we are going to send you a free Bible. We're going to send you a book called Begin. This book is about your first steps of following Jesus as your Savior. We're going to invest into your relationship. So do that right now. Do not wait. And we'll send that to you. And congratulations to those who made a decision. Thanks so much for your time with me today. It's been an amazing time. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey of sharing your faith in Jesus with others. Make sure to check out today's podcast show notes for a description of today's show along with other super important details. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really appreciate your feedback, Evangelism on Fire Nation. So share a review on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And hey, if no one has told you lately, God loves you, I love you, you matter, and you have divine purpose. Now it's time to go out there and share the boom, the gospel message with others. Make sure to join me for our next episode.